This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
Now you're talking my language.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons 3 till 6 on WSJS.
So we're on a Thursday Drive. It is WSJS. News, talk, sports for the Triad, where we have the Sweet 16 opening day and a long Easter weekend all rolled into one.
It's live action, Tracy.
Doesn't get much better than that. Let this serve as a reminder that while we'll have Instant Gram content exclusively on YouTube after college basketball games involving our locals tonight and this weekend, we will not be live tomorrow afternoon on Good Friday. Okay, let's talk some hoops. A PSA for the North Carolina Tar Heels. While Alabama isn't a huge concern given the matchup and how it favors Carolina, Arizona and the Elite Eight absolutely is a problem. Believe it or not, there are some fans, like WD, who are actually saying they want Caleb Love against Carolina on Saturday. That is insane. So once again, a PSA up front, you do not want to face Caleb Love, Carolina, and here's why. That guy has real scores to settle. It's become a thing in sports where you kind of create slights for yourself, like Michael Jordan did back in the day. Oh, I'm going to find a reason to be mad about this guy. And so you get kind of ridiculous comments like Travis Kelce after Kansas City won the championship last year say, "Nobody believed in us." Really? You got the best quarterback in the sport. Kirby Smart, "Everybody's doubting Georgia." What? Who? This is a real slight. This is real stuff, real scores for Caleb Love to settle. He was scapegoated when Carolina missed the tournament last year, even though he was the leading scorer on that team. And it's clear Caleb has not forgotten the way he was treated by many fans wearing Carolina blue. Here he was at Media Day in Los Angeles yesterday.
In North Carolina, it was, you know, kind of tough with, you know, the fans and things like that, you know, kind of going through, you know, expectations that people may have on me. I just think I just been playing free. I've been playing my game. I've been, you know, kind of blocking out any, you know, noise or any hatred or anything of that nature, negativity. I just think I've been hooping. And my teammates, you know, been helping me with that. And, you know, they've been having my back all year, so.
So to be clear, he hasn't forgotten what the fans said. That was unfair. He's cool with the players. He's not that cool with the fans and perhaps the program as a result. And he might not be cool with Hubert Davis either. Hubert Davis, it seems, pushed Caleb Love out. That was all but confirmed with this exchange.
Do you feel like you had the option to come back if you wanted to at Carolina?
I mean, you know, I think I already had no timing on that.
Mm-hmm. That would explain the Tar Heel for life on the shoes playing for Arizona at Duke. Why would he have that on his shoes if he's no longer there? Oh, he still wanted to be there. It wasn't his decision. It was Hubert Davis's. To Hubert's credit, it worked out best for Caleb and worked out best for RJ. This is not criticism of Hubert Davis for doing so. However, that's real reason for motivation if you're Caleb Love. You were blamed for last year when you were the leading scorer, and now you're going up against that program and that coach that pushed you out of a place that you love, that you claim to be a member of for life. The lesson from Caleb Love's career is this. You don't want to play him when he's on. He's kind of like the Hulk. You don't want to see him when he's angry. You don't want to see him when he's angry. Just ask Duke, his freshman year. You only know a savage until you see one, right? Everybody's a savage until you see one. The social media post, he wanted to go to Duke, but Jeremy Roach goes there, so he drops 25 on their head. That was the COVID year. Then Coach K's last game, he ruined that party at Cameron. And then for good measure, he hit the shot that's the most iconic shot in the history of the Duke-Carolina rivalry, extinguishing Coach K in the Final Four, the only time that Duke and Carolina ever met there. And then he returns to Cameron with Coach K sitting courtside. And what's he do? He wins there again, and he hits the free throws in the final minute. If you thought he was motivated for those games, get ready for to go to the Final Four and end Carolina's season? Are you kidding me? You want to talk storybook? He had the great storybook already from 22. This would be even better than that. The question is, if you're Carolina, do you want to play with a rattlesnake or do you not want to play with a rattlesnake? Because I don't see a rattlesnake on Clemson's roster. That guy, I don't want to mess with the Hulk. I don't want to mess with the rattlesnake. PSA to Carolina fans, you do not want to face Caleb Love. You should have a rooting interest. Root for the league. Root for Clemson to win tonight for that reason. But also, for your team's sake, you do not want Arizona to win. Fortunately, Carolina might not have to face Caleb Love. Not because Carolina's going to lose to Alabama. ACC versus the SEC, come on now. I think Clemson's going to upset Arizona tonight. That might be the hot take. Probably should have led with that. Whoa! I think Arizona lacks toughness at times. Ballo's pretty good in the post, but Clemson's got two of them, P.J. Hall and Ian Sheflin. Think that's going to be a problem for Arizona with a coach that's from Gonzaga that generally has problems winning in March. Last year, they lost to a 15 seed in his first season at Arizona, and Gonzaga, of course, doesn't have the greatest track record. Joe Girard has a long history with Caleb Love, too, understands some tendencies. Give me the Clemson Tigers to pull off that upset. But man, if Arizona wins, yes, it's going to be the matchup everybody wants. Should not be the matchup the Carolina fans want. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show, I feel like I should reserve time for a rebuttal. What do you hear out of what I just said here that you would push back on?
I mean, I think everything you say is valid. He is going to be motivated. He is going to be fired up. However, there's still a whole rest of the Arizona lineup that you got to account for. Caleb Love could go off and still not be enough because Carolina has a really good defense. They have a lot of different ways they can win games.
I get that, but why would you want that over Clemson? You beat Clemson at Little John Coliseum earlier this year.
Okay.
You beat Clemson.
I understand everything you're saying, and I probably shouldn't want to face Caleb Love. Yeah. But God, I want to see it happen so bad. I just want to see it.
336-777-1600. If you're a Carolina fan, do you want to see Caleb Love in the Elite Eight on WSJS Radio? That's where we're streaming the video, in addition to YouTube and Twitch. The Major League Baseball season is officially underway, and it fittingly starts with my Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
Cruelly, it starts right as the show starts first pitch right here. So apologies in advance. We're going to be a little distracted today. At least I will. I may or may not have a bet on the O's. That was a mistake. Hey, what might distract you a little bit more? I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Best bets are in a little bit. Let that be a bit of a tease. Let that be a little bit of a tease for best bets in about 10 minutes or so. The vibes are good right now, WD. Baltimore right in the center of the headlines. You got the new owner, Duke guy, my best friend, David Rubenstein, that was introduced earlier today in Baltimore. You can heal a lot of wounds with baseball starting, and you had the tragic bridge situation in Baltimore this week, and they've handled that nicely with a moment of silence right before the game at Camden Yards. But believe it or not, I actually might be in a less compromising position trying to do a radio show or a talk show while watching the Orioles in action right now than my dad. WD, my dad is sitting in the Angels family section wearing an Orioles hoodie. Why? Because apparently my dad's friends with Ron Washington. That's the story. Now, my dad's an interesting character. He, similar to the way I don't talk a lot about my dad, he doesn't talk a lot about some of the people that he's gotten to know. So when I'm a teenager, I flip through old family photo books and I see a photo that I thought was Photoshopped, turned out not to be, where Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth are standing in our foyer. Like, an actual question I had to ask my dad without knowing the answer to is, Dad, is this Randy Savage in our foyer? Oh yeah, that's Randy. I know, what's he doing there? Turned out to be great friends with the Macho Man when he was living. And that was confirmed when we had Leapin' Lanny Poffo on the show one time. And at the end, he just said, Macho Man didn't have a lot of friends, but your dad was one of them. Apparently, Ron Washington was friends with my dad back when he was on the Orioles in the 80s, and my dad did a little bit of media stuff. And when I'm in Texas, me and him go to a game, and he's managing the Rangers, goes near the dugout, just yells, "Hey, Wolf!" And then Ron Washington turns around and says, "Hey, Scott, what's going on?"
It's unbelievable.
That's my dad. So he's in the Angels family section. Apparently, he and Ron Washington are going to ride around looking for crab cake tomorrow on the off day for both of them. So that's cool. A lot of fun.
It's so random.
That's great. It really is. Let's go to Wayne in Greensboro, who wants in on baseball. Wayne, I don't want to hear a darn thing about any other team but the Orioles today. So if you got somebody else to talk about, I know you're an Astros guy. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, I was just...
Wait a minute. Who do they play? Do they play the Yankees?
Us.
I take that back.
4-10.
I take that back. I would love to hear everything about the Astros, considering they're playing the Yankees and WD's Yankees. I take that all back.
Four-game series, but I honestly think, just looking at things, when you guys traded for Burns, that made you one of the favorites in the American League, if not the top dog.
Oh, I love you, Wayne.
Talk about how important that was.
You know, twist my arm. I'll talk about how great. I see Corbin Burns right now throwing the first couple pitches of the season because nobody else is playing right now.
Yep.
Until about another out. 0-2 count, Corbin Burns.
This is the
contender.
With Josh
That's what we are.
Graham.
Yeah, Corbin Burns. Watch out. The Orioles going to take over the world. Hayes Permar, Sports Channel 8, joining us, trying to wrangle in a dog, it sounds like. Is that correct?
No, I'm Josh Goodson at Pebble Beach. I'm out on the course. I'm currently 8 over, but I've got a 3-stroke lead on him. So.
Wait, you're at Pebble Beach right now?
Yeah, I'm at Pebble Beach. You want to see?
I'd love to.
Here I am. I'm just standing on the green.
Well done. Well played.
There's me.
Does Goodson have a betting play for any of the games the next couple days? Does he have any of those?
Does Goodson have a betting play for the next couple days?
Anything, one specific
bet. Does he have a sharp play in the Sweet 16? He's thinking about it.
All right, let him think about it. We'll get to that at the end of the segment. Let's ask you the question we've been asking Carolina fans in the audience. WD represents a subset of Carolina fans that I do not understand, that apparently want the smoke, want Caleb Love in the Elite Eight. Is Hayes Permar one of those people that, if you were wanting Carolina good things to happen for them, do you want Caleb Love on Saturday night?
Yes. I think it's meant to be. It's one of those, like, it's not a conspiracy theory because it's not like they're meeting in the second round, but it does feel like it was March Madness drama that was meant to be. So, like, if I'm a Carolina fan, do I want to face Caleb Love? Maybe not, but like, as a March Madness fan, I do. Like, that's what it's made for. They'll talk about it ad nauseum, but that's what college basketball is about. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that guy's a rattlesnake, and he's going to kill Carolina. Like, if they play Saturday,
he's going to shoot 30 shots. He's either going to go 1 for 30 or like 20 for 30 from three. It's only going one way on that one.
Which reminds me, the last time Alabama played Carolina last year, Caleb Love attempted 36 shots.
That was
a thing that actually happened last year in a 4-overtime game. And the winner of tonight's game probably gets Caleb Love, fittingly enough. Are you ready for skips or plays with Hayes? Let's do it anyway.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things. But he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's the friend of Satan.
Feels like 06, getting busy with the sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for skips or plays with Hayes.
We get to watch Josh Goodson get a swing in. This is like the George Bush meme.
Now watch this.
Now watch this drive.
He's gonna love this shot. He set it up at the right distance. He's going to be about 150 yards out, just like he wants to be here at Pebble Beach. This is well played. This is well played by Josh Gibson. Trying to hold it, crawl back into the...
This is like the George Bush meme where he's like, we're going to crush these terrorists. Now watch this drive. Okay. What is the theme, actually, WD? What is the theme for this week?
It is a Sweet 16 theme.
Okay. What does that mean? There are a ton of Sweet 16 teams. Like, what are you doing?
It means I'm going to get an artist who is a fan or has some connection to UNC, NC State, and Duke. Is he's about to hit a shot?
I don't know. But what is the first song you have for me, UNC, Duke, or State related?
It's going to be NC State. And we're going with See You Tonight, Scotty McCreery. So I'm coming
over. Listen to me, pull me in your drive. Look out your window, you see my
lights. Baby, this is a play. I don't love the song, but I love Scotty. He's a great dude. He reps his area, he reps his school very well. We got to get Scotty to the Rialto, so I better play this one. This is a play.
That would be a great show if Scotty were at the Rialto. Hayes Permar from the Rialto Sports Channel 8 with us. Just got a mean swing in here for those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and X. Okay, next song. What is the next celebrity fan of a team?
All right, we're going UNC here with Eric Church, Record Year.
Oh. I didn't know this
was Eric Church. I'm skipping this one. I'm skipping this one because I don't like that, like, Eric Church and Luke Combs and those guys all went to App, and they all want to be UNC fans, and I don't like fan. He's cool. I'm skipping this.
All right. You could skip that. He did wear Carolina Blue Jays when he sang the national anthem a few years ago at the Super Bowl.
And it's just kind of he's kind of corny to me with the UNC stuff.
Let's get to, I guess that leaves Duke fan to close us out.
It does.
What Duke fan are you going with? Like Mike Posner, who's friends with John Jair?
No.
Beyonce.
No. There's the iconic Tupac wearing the Duke jersey, and I'm a big Tupac fan, so I'm excited about this one. All eyes on me. Roll up in the club.
All eyes on me. Duke fan Tupac.
This is a play.
Duh.
Great song, great pull. It is kind of weak that for a Duke fan you have to pull Tupac wearing a Duke jersey because there aren't any actual cool musical artists who would rap Duke. So this is a play. Also, randomly, for some reason, I had to enlighten my millennial coworker on the 1995 Source Awards when Suge Knight was like,
yeah,
watch out, Tupac, we got your back. And then if you don't want the producer dancing in your videos and on the album, and that's just a great all-time moment that I'm sure people are watching now with Diddy in the news. So I'm glad you went Tupac and not Diddy.
Come to Bad Boy Hayes Records. Permar. That's what you need to do. Come to Bad Boy. Permar, did Goodson have anything to share with us at the end of this segment? Tell him I got Tyler Kolick over 16.5 tomorrow for Marquette. That's my favorite bet.
He's got Kolick over 16.5 for Marquette tomorrow.
That's my bet.
You got any insight? Come on, do the show. He's withholding it all. He didn't want to move the lines in Vegas too much by making his information public.
Smart play. How are you guys swinging it right now on the way out?
He likes DJ Horn overs. There you go.
There you go.
Horn to be. Everybody's concentrating on Burns. It's Horn time for the pack. I still hold a 3-stroke lead, and I got a need to get up and down for a par here on number 10. Tough run, but I'm 10 over. It's about what I would be on real Pebble Beach probably about this time. So can't complain.
Excellent work on your part. Thank you to you both, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for dealing with me, knucklehead. See you guys. Let's
get the show going. It's The Drive with Josh Graham.
Duke Houston, a coin toss tomorrow. We actually did a coin toss to decide who we thought was going to win that game. It landed on Duke. So, congrats to the Blue Devils in that regard. Also tomorrow, in Dallas,
where Connor O'Neill's going to join us in about 15 minutes, covers the Deeks and the Blue Devils. NC State, the Cinderella of this tournament, the only double-digit seed left standing in the Sweet 16, the only seed higher than 6 to this point. They're going to face Marquette. Will the magical ride continue? No. We have not picked against State since that Syracuse game Wednesday of the ACC tournament a couple weeks ago. Stayed away from the pack. But I'm sorry. NC State is not going to beat Marquette tomorrow. You ever say a sentence out loud and just know that it's going to haunt you? Like, NC State's not going to beat Marquette. I can hear Sarah McLachlan,
you know,
play.
What I mean? Okay, so I'm not alone in that.
As I'm saying that sentence. But here's the logic behind it. This is the first time that State has drawn a bad matchup in this tournament. Texas Tech was the perfect 6th seed for them to get. No great perimeter threat. Wants to play inside. DJ Burns and Modiara are like, yes, sign us up for that. Sign us up for 40. Then they got bracket luck. Kentucky lost to Oakland. And even in facing a 14 seed in Oakland, they caught breaks in overtime. They still figured out a way to win that game despite the fact you had Modiara and Ben Middlebrooks foul out of that game and you were trailing. So it took a lot just to beat Oakland. And now you got the number 2 seed in the bracket. You've got Marquette, which also has perhaps the best point guard in America on its roster, Tyler Kolek. If you're unfamiliar with Tyler Kolek's work, he's a bad man now. Like, if Mark Jackson were broadcasting one of the games, he'd be like, "Mama, there goes that man." You wouldn't think it by looking at him. Kind of a scrawny white kid. But he is really, really good. And the problem with NC State, even during this run, the pack doesn't do well with scoring guards. In 7 of the last 9 games, see, they've won 7 in a row now. In 7 of the last 9 games for State, they've allowed 20-plus points to a guard, to a leading guard on the other side. 7 of the last 9. And on 3 of those occasions, RJ Davis in the ACC championship game, Sky Clark against Louisville on Tuesday of the ACC tournament, and against Trey Townsend of Oakland, who went, all 3 of those guys went for 30 plus against the Pack. 30 plus. 30 piece McNugget, as my buddy Rob Baxley would say. Now you're facing Tyler Kolek, who might be better than all those guys. NC State has problems on the perimeter, and Marquette just seems to be really good in the areas that State is not so great in. So, a PSA. Player props feel pretty good about. Like, if I look at Underdog Sportsbook right now, I see Tyler Kolek over 16.5 points. I like that.
Send me that cash out, family.
I like that quite a bit. If you're talking about picking a side in this game, see, now that betting's legal in North Carolina,
send me that cash.
If you were to go to Underdog Sports, but I would probably say don't when it comes to Marquette at NC State. I think Marquette's going to win the game. Give me Marquette by 7. I think that's going to happen, and there's logic behind it. Player prop, fine. Win or lose, Tyler Kolek is going to get his, because even the teams that State beats allows for these guards to get theirs. But if you're picking sides in this game, I'd recommend against it. The law of the wolf still exists. The curse doesn't.
We suck.
That, I think, has been refuted. But the law of the wolf, when you least expect something from State, that's when something happens, seems to still be a very real thing. And while we're talking about Underdog Sportsbook, make sure you use, if you have iOS or Android, download the Underdog Sportsbook app and use the promo code THEDRIVE. Oh, that's fitting. Use your first bet mulligan. What's a first bet mulligan? Glad you asked. It returns up to $1,000 as bonus funds if your first bet loses. What's that mean? I'll walk you through it. Hey, let's bet $1,000 on a game. And then it loses. Well, there's $1,000 as bonus funds. A mulligan, if you will. Hey, we got you, fam. Solid. That you could have another crack at it. That's Underdog Sportsbook. Promo code THE DRIVE. Must be 21 or older to gamble and present in North Carolina. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply and can be found in the Underdog Sportsbook app. Wake Forest had a couple of players enter the transfer portal today. Boopy Miller, Boopy, Matthew Marsh joining Damari Monsanto and Jawatuka. Some Wake fans a little nervous about this, surprised by this. Don't be. Boopy Miller entering the portal particularly. Don't be that surprised by it. Wake Forest certainly isn't surprised by it. And here's why. Parker Fredrickson was taking minutes from Boopy in crunch time of games down the stretch. Just look at the minutes he played at Duke, at JPJ. He's a more reliable three-point shooter. He's a freshman, so he's younger. So he's going to develop into something. Plus, Wake has a signee in Juke Harris from Salisbury that can be plugged in and fill some of those minutes with Boopy too, and he has a little bit more size for some of those one-on-one matchups defensively that could probably give him a better shot than Boopy defensively. So that's a basketball reason for this. In addition to the playing time motivation, though, this is no doubt a financially driven decision as well. Wake Forest got big-time investment from Mitch Shaw and others to make sure they're set in the portal. So much so that Steve Forbes told us, if we're going to lose somebody we want, it's not going to be because of money.
Well,
it's not because of that guy we want being pulled away for financial reasons. Wake wasn't going to open the checkbook up for Boopy Miller. Somebody else will, though. So if you're Boopy, you might not get the playing time that you want. You might not get the NIL that you want from Wake Forest to retain you, but at 16 points and 3.5 assists per game, 37% from three, somebody in one of these rich, maybe SEC, what's the word I'm looking for? I almost want to say investment fund, but I'm talking about NIL collectives. One of these richer collectives, they're going to be able to give you something that Wake Forest will not. So the SEC probably will have somebody offer Boopy Miller a bunch of money that Wake Forest isn't willing to. And the reason why is there are five players on this team Wake Forest really wants to keep, and Boopy is not one of those five. That list looks like this. Hunter Salas, Efton Reed, Cam Hildreth, Andrew Carr, and Parker Fredrickson. Salas is the one guy you probably are going to lose to the draft out of those five because it's not a great draft. He's projected to be a first-round pick according to Sam Facini of The Athletic. If you're even close, this year you go because next year's class is going to be loaded. So Wake needs roster space to try to replace that guy. They have it with the guys who are entering the portal. These are not game changers that they're losing, not core pieces that they're losing. The portal works both ways. And Steve Forbes, we've learned through the way he's added the last few years, Alondis, Jake LaRavia, Ty Appleby, Andrew Carr, Hunter Salas, he's going to find dudes. The portal works both ways. But this is the first year he's probably not going to have to replace three starters. He'll lose a couple, Hunter Salas and Boopy Miller, but hopefully not anybody you're not expecting to lose, like Efton or Andrew, Hildreth, those type of players. So I wouldn't be all that concerned about it if I were Wake Forest. Oh, the Orioles are in action, and that is Greensboro's own Cedric Mullins hitting one out, WD. Ah! It's every 5-10 minutes. Something amazing happens. Yes. I forget what school that Cedric Mullins went to. I don't even know what school he went to in Greensboro. But then he went to Campbell, #RollHumps, and he just went yard and another pitcher's being knocked out of the game for the Angels. That's an 11-1 lead, WD. 11-1. Gosh, I love this team. Gosh, I love this sport.
Brookwood High School.
Where's that?
Snellville, Georgia.
Oh. He must have grew up
in Greensboro before high school then.
He was born in Greensboro. Maybe he...
See, he reps 336.
He has before, and that's why he went to college in the state of North Carolina, one can assume. Georgia's not claiming him. He's a Greensboro guy. We're claiming him. Hashtag 336. That's what we're about. So happy right now.
Still waiting for the Yankees to score.
Well, they got the bases loaded right now in the top of the fifth.
Juan Soto to right field. That'll bring in a couple.
Oh. So the Yankees, ask and you shall receive.
Come on! Oh, they got one out of that. We'll take it.
We need to bring another Oriole fan on. Connor O'Neill, everybody. He's in Dallas covering Duke, which plays tomorrow. Covers Wake about as well as anybody. So we'll get his thoughts on the Boopie Miller and Matthew Marsh portal entries as well when Connor joins us next.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Something magic happens every time you go. You make the magic happen. The magic of Orioles baseball when the game is close.
I'm so glad to call an audible from Connor O'Neill's regular music because it's 11-1 Orioles in the opener, baby. Yeah. Connor O'Neill, you're in Dallas covering the Blue Devils tomorrow. They've got Houston in what might be the best game of the Sweet 16. And there's some Wake Forest news for us to get to as well. What's your level of excitement when it comes to the Birds right now?
You know, I don't think they'll win 162, but I think 150 is in play, right?
That's like what I'm saying. And the Yankees. WD, how's your Yankees looking?
4-1. 4-1. Juan Soto drove in their first run of the season.
Yeah, so the Yankees are losing Garrett Cole on the 60-day IL. You just hate to see these types of things. See, you have another sounder as a transition that you could use other than Connor O'Neill's sound right there, but... It's another team that's also in Dallas as well.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
There it is. All right, Connor, let's get into it a little bit. What was the highlight of what was said at Duke's media availability in Dallas a short while ago?
You know, I always like talking to Jared McCain. That's something I've kind of learned about myself this year. Like, he is always just exuberant and positive. Actually wrote a story about him and kind of his outlook with quotes that I had from all last weekend.
Got the positive potato that he brings with him everywhere.
Yeah. I wanted to work that in. I even asked him about it last week. After he credited the positive potato and the good luck crystal. I think it is. It's like a green crystal that's next to the positive potato. Those were the things that led to 30 points and making your first, I think he made his first six threes. Just an electric scorer and an electric personality to him. Like, he's got such a bubbly vibe to him all of the time. And it's refreshing to be around that kid.
It is his personality that, you know, I think it has a different vibe in the locker room, but also his play on the court. Duke didn't really have a 3-point shooter like him a year ago, but I got to ask you this. Is it lost on you at all that Duke is playing in the home of the Mavericks, which is home to the piece the Blue Devils are most missing, and Derek Lively?
I actually thought about it's a little ominous that this year they're playing in the arena of Derek Lively, the guy from last year that, you know, he was the most impactful piece that they lost. Last year in Orlando, they're playing in the home of Paolo Banchero, who is the most impactful person that they lost from the Final Four team. That's the weird thing that I think about. I don't think there's a story there. Like, I don't think it's worth my time today to go in there and say, like, hey, Kyle, you know, or hey, Jeremy, because really Jeremy Roach is the one you go to because he's been there longest. You know, hey, Jeremy, you're playing in Derek's home court. You lost in Paolo's home court last year. How does it feel to, you know, I don't know there's much there other than it's just like a little quirky note to throw in and think about.
Yeah, the Mavericks play tomorrow and on Sunday on the road. So if you're thinking Derek Lively will make an appearance, odds are that's not the case. Did you get the sense that the talk of Duke being soft throughout the week, especially given who the opponent is, I feel like that's being emphasized more than usual, that that's something that's being used as motivation at all?
I think it is. I think we put that to bed. I know that people are going to look at it and say it was a Sun Belt team, so Duke is already supposed to be tougher than James Madison, but everything about James Madison told you that they were tough. They out-toughed Wisconsin and really ran Wisconsin off the court. So I get it. Like, I get that Houston is a different beast. I told somebody early in the week that Houston's kind of taken that mantle of the toughest defensive team in the country from Virginia in the last 2 to 3 years. I get where we have to keep harping on that and keep saying Duke lost to a tough team last year. They got punked against Tennessee, but also feel like they moved on. Like I think that the win against James Madison, the way they played against James Madison, moved them forward, moved the narrative off of that. And I think now it's more of Duke looks like the Final Four contender that we thought they were going to be going the preseason. And they look like at times this year, not consistently enough for the liking of, you know, the fan base, probably for John Shire and probably for the sophomore trio, but now they're playing at that level again. And it's a lot of, you know, I think you have two teams going into this game that both want to say they're the underdog, or, you know, Duke is never the underdog, but they're slighted, and Houston is the number one seed, but they're the team without all the five-star guys. It's an interesting matchup for who's trying to be the underdog and who's actually the favorite.
Connor O'Neill is with us here. Deacons Illustrated, Devils Illustrated. We'll get to the Deacs in a second. But John Shire, we were talking about this in D.C. right after Duke lost to NC State. The immediate reaction by a lot of people was, oh boy, they better perform next year, because if you don't, the Cooper flag mix where you have that top five class, then real questions are going to be asked about John Shire, which had me thinking about among the three in-state coaches that we have in the tournament still, Kevin Keats, Hubert Davis, seems to be no doubt the coach with the most to gain this week in this tournament is John Shire. How much do you think he has to gain? Like, how important is insurance for him going into next year?
Yeah, I caught some of your discussion on that. What was it the other day? Yeah. It was Tuesday when I was on the road to PTI, the best little airport in the country. Shout out. No, I think there's a lot to be said for what last week did for John and kind of how you talk about him in 2 years into taking over for Coach K. And I think this weekend can again, like if he punches a Final Four berth, even if they beat Houston and then lose to either Marquette or NC State, I'm sure it'll be really painful if they lose to NC State, but you get what I'm saying? Like even an Elite Eight berth, short of a Final Four, that we talk about John differently than if he loses last week.
Cause it's something in each of the 2 years. Like it wouldn't be like a setback like Hubert had last year. It's you won the ACC championship in Greensboro and then you made it to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's look, stepping into the shoes that he stepped into, that was always going to be a tall task. And there was always going to be a fraction of the fan base that said, John Shire's not the answer. We need to move on right away. What they've been and how they've improved throughout the season in both of his first 2 years. They've played their best basketball down the stretch. Take out the regular season finale and the ACC tournament loss this year in NC State, and they were playing their best basketball. That's something to build with for a young coach. and take out the fact that he's replacing the guy that won five championships and coached for four decades and is the sport's all-time wins leader on the men's side, that's a nice little building block of a first two seasons. And then you're I don't want to say you're everything on top of this is gravy or whipped cream, but you know, your bar is already pretty high at this point, if so, you catch my drift.
I do. Day one of the portal opening up, Damari Monsanto, Jawa Tuka entered from Wake Forest. No surprises there. Today, it's Boopy Miller, Boopy, and Matthew Marsh that go into the portal. Still, my reaction is I don't think Wake Forest is losing anybody that they really wanted to keep. How big of a deal do you think Boopy, or as you would call him, Kevin, entering the portal is?
I think it's a big deal from a standpoint of fans want to know who's going to be on the team next year. And I think that it hurts from standpoint that he was a piece to build with. He was a point guard basically playing his second year of college basketball who averaged 15 plus per game and 3.5 assists. I have reservations about his fit at Wake Forest. And I think Steve's system, his offense at Wake works better when he has a distributor at point guard rather than a score first point guard. And I think despite Alondis Williams and Tyree Appleby putting up huge scoring numbers in their first 2 years, they were distributors. Like, how many times did Steve tell us that man liked to pass the ball more than he liked to score the ball? He liked to set up teammates. And then Ty Appleby, I mean, he led the league in assists last year, I think by more than a full assist per game. And you know, we saw what Matthew Marsh was with Ty Appleby, and we saw what Matthew Marsh was without Ty Appleby. So I think losing Kevin Miller is a little bit of a blow. I also think that it opens up the possibility to get a point guard who's a better fit for what Wake Forest needs. That's where the portal giveth and the portal taketh. Like, right now it's all taketh. Like, You left off to, like, Zach Keller went in today and Aaron Clark went in yesterday. They've lost six guys. So you're looking at it and saying, you know, I've already got one person asking me if I've got eligibility. And I don't think Steve is in the market for a 34-year-old 5'9 defense first point guard who might be able to make it up and down the court five times before a coronary.
Yeah.
Look, like, right now, yeah, it feels like the world is ending because you don't know who's going to be on the team.
But nobody's adding yet. That's the important piece.
That's the thing. Like, the only guys that are getting added right now are the guys that have been tampered with, like, clearly been tampered. Like, Lynn Kidd going into the portal and landing at Miami 2 days later. Come on. Like,
yeah.
We know how this works, right?
I'm trying to think. The list, I put together a list of guys that Wake Forest would have serious problems losing. If they were to leave, like, guys they really want to have back. And I think the list is Hunter Salas, which is most likely to leave, Efton Reed, Andrew Carr, Cam Hildreth, and maybe Parker Fredrickson. How do you feel about that list?
I agree. I would – maybe I'm off base. I would throw Marcus Marion in there. I think he has got a lot of potential, and I would love to see what he looks like after a full summer in the weight room, full spring. Like, he gets to work out for the next 2 months or whatever. Both of the freshmen that are still on the roster showed a lot of promise. Parker in a lot of different ways than Marcus. But yeah, I'm with you. And I think that until they lose any of those guys for good, there's no need to really panic about what Wake is going to look like next year.
I'm panicking right now. The Orioles had a chance for a double play and get it. Two runs go in. It's 11-3. May or may not had a parlay that has the Orioles winning and not allowing more than three runs. Dean Aiken might be coming in right now. I'm just saying, you know.
You know, there are like 31 states that allow sports gambling, and Texas is not one of them. Like, How many other things are legal in Texas without sports gambling?
I didn't know it wasn't Florida, in California.
Florida and California kind of the same way. I think Florida is very strict on that too. It was the worst one was D.C. just because, like, Maryland and Virginia, it's both legal. Hey, you could do it in person. But anyway, Connor O'Neill, enjoy
I love Texas. Have you spent much time in Texas before?
No, not really.
Okay, there's a fast food chain there that is
called Whataburger?
No. Called Brahms. B-R-A-U-M-S. You know what they serve all day long? Breakfast. You know what else they serve all day long? Ice cream.
Oh.
It's really good ice cream. Brahms. Shout out to Brahms. Their breakfast burritos, elite. Okay. Joe Flacco level. Anyway, enjoy that. And we'll talk to you on the flip side. Good luck with your coverage. We'll be following all the happenings with Wake Forest, transfer portal stuff, and, of course, Duke tomorrow night. Deacon Illustrated, Devils Illustrated. Connor on short notice. Thanks so much for the time.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.